This is a HeadGum Podcast.
All right, Demi, it's time for a call-in show.
Can't wait.
You know what that means.
Call my name. All you have to do is call my name.
Call my name.
Call my name. Call my name.
Call my name.
Over the entire episode, baby.
It'll be playing softly in the background.
I wonder how many people thought we did that for real, and we're just like, oh, no thanks.
Did what for real?
How many people of the last episode thought we were going to actually leave it over the whole thing, and we're just like, I'm not going to listen.
Hello, this is the Gilmore Guys.
Oh my gosh, I'm on the show?
Hello.
Well, maybe. We might cut this part out. Looks
like a 2K you wouldn't dare. That would just be... That would be a mean joke.
Kevin's hung up on a person before. Kevin's a rude person.
No. Anyway.
Shoot, what'd they do so I don't repeat it?
I genuinely don't remember. I think they joked about not being Team Logan. And it was an accident.
No, well, but you'll be happy to know that I am Team Logan, I think.
I'm not happy at all.
Oh, hell yeah.
What's your name?
I'm kind of Team Jess, too, though, so now you probably will hang
up. Well, then what is it, girl?
I don't know. It's like, you know, Jess wasn't so bad. Logan's great, too. As long as it's not Dean, can't we all agree that we're happy?
I will be in team, at least it's not Dean, but...
Yeah, I'm so support that team.
All right, so what's your name?
I think everyone's in that team. So how's it going so far, guys?
The call-in show? Well, pretty terribly. It took us about 15 minutes to figure out how to do it again.
Technology is hard.
It was a toughie. It really was. It was toughie the Vampire Slayer to get this whole thing running.
Between that and the new iTunes, it's just like your world is crazy.
Yeah, technology is not our friend here.
You're referring to my struggle with
his comp, if you will.
Icons or whatever.
Oh,
Kevin's
gosh.
Comp.
Kevin's comp coming to a podcast near you.
Kevin's comp.
Well, what's your name again?
My name is Alana from Chicago.
Oh, like Alana Morissette. Right on.
No, if. Alana with an A at the end.
Got it. Alana Morissette. What's your what's your question, Alana?
Or what's the moment?
Well, we're supposed to be doing
Or the moment. Let's talk about a moment that really touched you.
A moment that really touched me. Okay, well, there are so many. I'm definitely... on Team Kevin, that I love the downer moment.
Downer? But I don't know. This show, it was so good about those.
It's so good with those. So how many can I list before you start to hate me?
Let's try to focus on one for now, just to sort of, so we can discuss the one moment.
Okay, I'll start with an early one, since I feel like you started this call-in show not that long ago. It is in the episode where Gran comes for the first time, and Lorelai and Emily get into the fight, so she can't get the money. And Emily, at the tea, starts to feel bad, and so she's like, how can I make it up to you? I'm going to call Richard, blah, blah, blah. And Lorelai says, don't make me take the coat rack back. And Emily says, deal. And she's just so happy and cute. And Kelly Bishop is obviously amazing. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Well, this is episode like 190.
Super early.
It's called The Third Lorelai in season one.
Yeah. Where we meet Trix.
And Emily's just so happy that she can do something and that Lorelai is kind of forgiven her, and she's so cute when she points at her.
The show works best when they meet in the middle, not when like one's being a weird monster to the other one,
right?
Like what we just talked about in 512, when Emily just,
you know
what?
I gotta be honest, I sent you an email sort of about this recently on the, I think it was 508,
okay,
where you were like out of character they were and blah blah blah.
Wow, good summary of our show.
That was a nice synopsis, right? Yeah. But in 507, I thought that was an interesting perspective that I hadn't thought about before. But in 508, I thought it was less about because you were talking about how it wasn't that interesting to watch Luke and Lorelai be right about their family. And I was thinking that it's less about Lorelai being right about her parents in that circumstance and more about her being wrong about what Rory wants at the end, how she really kind of likes their work.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree that's the most salient thing. But I don't know if that's what the episode was about, because it seemed a little rushed at the end.
Well, I think that that's been a theme since the beginning. I mean, even if you go back to, like, the third episode where they're talking about, like, the golf, the country club, for instance.
Oh, yeah, that Lorelai would be threatened by Rory having a good time with Richard. Yeah, I guess so. I guess that is, but I think just, like televisually what they were trying to do, if I can use that stupid ass word, televisually, but I think what we were talking about with Sarah was like, oh, Luke's dealing with his crazy family, Lorelai's dealing with hers. But I do agree with you that that's the most interesting story to tell. But I think they were leaning towards like, oh man, Lorelai's family sucks.
I just hated that because they made Lorelai so annoying and then also made her right. So it was this kind of thing of making it like we're supposed to be on Lorelai's side about, oh yeah, Emily was a monster, Luke, but I also feel Luke's frustration at being like, you're overreacting, because she was very much overreacting, even though she was right. So it's like, it's like having, if we're Luke, we're supposed to be like, wait, what do I believe? Do I believe that Emily is truly as rude as she is being, or do I believe that Lorelai is just being very annoying?
In 507, I'm way more on your page, which is the one where like Luke meets Emily. In the one where they throw her the male Yale party,
yeah,
I feel like the arc of Rory kind of liking her parents, her grandparents' world, is really carried throughout the whole show. And
I disagree with that, because I think Rory is disgusted by the whole setup at first. I think she only embraces it at the end.
Because of Logan?
Well, because Dean dumps her, and then Finn needs to reenact Passion of the Christ, and Logan needs to do whatever he does to her in the limo.
Like, fair enough.
Like she was like not into it, and she was like, where are the dudes, you POSs, to Richard and Emily? And they're like, oh, there's no guys? Oh, I didn't even realize. Boo ba ba doo. Like, that was frustrating.
It was tough even for them. I feel you on that. Okay, I'm going to give you like two more moments, maybe, if you accept them.
Okay, make them quick.
I'm going to make them quick.
Okay.
I'll even do one in one word, because I know you guys are on this page.
Sure.
Apple in the scene in the mall.
Oh, yeah. I thought about that, especially because we just did 512 when they sort of rekindle the relationship. And it was the whole thing of her buying the apples and going, like, you didn't notice the apples. She's like, I've always liked them.
So hard.
It was very frustrating to watch that, but it was a good kind of frustrating where you just think, that's good storytelling. And I feel like that was the last kind of storytelling we got of that, where it's very subtle.
Oh, interesting.
They don't lean on moments like that too much, but it's moments like that where I'm kind of like, I get it, and you said so much by saying so little.
Yeah.
And now it's
a lot of
them saying so much and still not getting the parts that I need to feel.
Yeah, there used to be a lot of storytelling in the early seasons that was unspoken, and in season 5, people are stating their themes.
Yeah.
Lorelai, Rory's in a new phase of her life. She needs to experience new things.
I just met with my dad, and he is bad, but it's good to have him in our life because he can help us.
That's an interesting point, Demi. I didn't think about that.
They're more over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but what did you you brought that moment up because it's one of your favorites, or you just, what about it speaks to you?
It's just so good. It's one of my favorites. I like the downer. I like when they're, you know,
sad.
A little sad.
Sad, more girls.
The two of them are just phenomenal. I mean, they play it perfectly. And you can tell Emily is just crushed.
Yeah.
Devastated. What was your third moment?
And finally, I got to throw it out to my weirdly favorite episode. I don't know why it's my favorite, but I just love it, which is the incredible sinking/shrinking Lorelai's. And
oh yeah, I love that episode. That's a that might be a top 10 for me, actually, in retrospect.
I don't know what it is, but it's just so well done. And mm-hmm. I was so happy that you guys liked it, because I didn't know if I was the only one.
In which moment from that really hit it home
for you? I guess at the end, when they've missed each other all day, and they play the, like, mirroring voicemails, well, I guess back then, answering machine messages. And then they're just like, nothing much to report. And you can hear that they're both just so sad. They don't have mother and daughter to lean on.
I especially like that because it's, I think it's the closest that Gilmore Girls ever gets to a stylistic episode.
And thematic, yeah.
Where it's like, you know, the way they shot it is particularly important. The way that they're like going back and forth. They don't do that. It's pretty much straightforward storytelling. So for them.
I never realized that until you guys pointed it out, that they don't do thematic episodes. And it was something that was so interesting in hearing from the writers that you guys have talked to.
Mm-hmm.
That just wasn't a priority. Really is potentially really the only one I can think of where they carry that thread through the entire episode.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll let you guys go and talk to more people, but thanks for answering me. This is
Thank
so
you
exciting.
For calling, Alana.
Of course. Thank you. We'll see you someday in Chicago, Alanis Morissette. Bye.
Yeah, come to Chicago. I want to see Demi pretend that his, like, jean jacket will get him through the winter here.
It's not a jean jacket they gave me. It's a big old, what's it kind of jacket?
Who? Wait, which one is it? The wrap gift? It's like a sweater.
Yeah, it's a big old jacket.
Sweater.
That's cute. I want to see you come to Chicago winters and see what you think.
Well, you making fun of us isn't helping your case.
I will go there and I will be like, I hate the winter. I hate it. I love Chicago, but I hate the winter.
Chicago's the greatest city on earth.
It's wonderful here, and I definitely think, I know there's some Chicago gillies out
there. There's definitely a lot.
It's a wonderful place. It's better in the summer, I'm not going to lie, but it's a wonderful place.
All right, then we'll come out there next. We'll come out there July 2017, when we'll definitely still
you'll
be doing this show.
You'll come out for Bunheads.
Yeah. Well, we're not.
People would not. We'll talk about it.
No one's going to see a Bunhead show. All right, bye, Alanis. Oh, no, I kind of hung up on her. No, I didn't mean to. I'm sorry.
I'm only saying this just because we talked about a lot about doing a Chicago show just now. We're going to try and come to Chicago. You don't have to tell us.
Confirm.
You don't have to email us or tweet out about us about coming to Chicago.
Hello, you're on with the Gilmore Guys.
Hey, Kevin, it's Marcy.
Marcy!
Hi. Our old friend.
Oh, my God. I literally got thrown my first call. I also had extended difficulties.
No, we were, but okay. Now we're good.
Nice.
Are you a three-time offender for the call-in episodes? Are you a three-peat? Were you on the first one? Because you were on the second one, right?
Yeah, no, I was on both of them. So basically, I'm just taking up all of y'all's call-in show time. All
right, bye.
No.
I'm just kidding. I almost hung up on you. All right, let's talk moments. Let's talk Q&A. Let's go. Let's do it.
So are we talking, like, favorite moments, least favorite moments? Like, that's kind of what I got from Twitter. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, just any moment that you really want to discuss.
Or any precious moments figurines that you want to sell us.
Yeah.
Well, I got, like, a lot of really good feedback on Twitter last time from whenever we talked about that moment in There's a Rub where Emily and Lorelai obviously steal the robe. I basically, like, any of my favorite moments are when Emily and Lorelai are genuinely getting along without any fighting. I think those moments are some of their best.
I tell you what, that was the moment, not that specific moment, but an Emily Lorelai moment is the thing that the previous caller called in about.
Really?
That same
people
genre.
People love that those bonding moments.
Yeah. And also I was thinking about too, like, whenever they like had that night in together in Rory's dance episode, whenever Lorelai was like did the thing to her back and Emily made her the gross mashed the man up.
And told her she was like Barbara Stanwyck.
Yeah, like those sweet moments. I love that. And even like the one particular moment where they were having like a really nice time on that episode where Richard like did that sneak attack on Rory where they went on the tour of Yale and he planned like meeting with his friend and Laura like freaked out on them and like thought that Emily was behind it and how crushed Emily was because like she literally had no idea. That always makes me really sad.
Yeah.
Richard's an evil genius. That's what this show is getting at.
He's insanely manipulative.
Yeah. He might be more so than Emily. Emily's kind of not fronting at this point, and Richard
Emily...
is more...
Wait, hold on. Okay. I have to interrupt, though. I need to know what episode y'all watched up to the point for, like, recording purposes.
So we've watched 512, but we're trying... Yeah, we've watched up to 512.
Okay, so I don't know when this episode's coming out, but I'm assuming... Will that episode that, like, y'all discussed it come out before this one or after this, like, call-in show?
It'll come in before. Come out before.
Okay. Dang it. So we're not up to Wedding Bell Blues then, huh?
No.
That'll be the next one.
Oh, dang it. Well, I am looking forward to that episode then, because I want to hear, Kevin, how you're going to defend Emily in that one.
Oh, I didn't know Emily's going to need defending. I mean, she needed defending in this episode, in 512, and we did not do a good job because we didn't want to defend her.
Yeah.
But,
well, no, I've read that Television Without Pity comment. It'll be interesting, especially in a live show context. It'll be like an hour 40 we have to do it.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I love Emily. I need to say that, but I think that sometimes, Kevin, I feel like you defend her too much sometimes.
I defend her too much?
Yeah, I think you're too forgiving of Emily sometimes.
That's not true. She's great. I don't defend her too much. No, that's not me.
You're going
to
hang up on me, aren't you?
No. I think I'm guilty of that sometimes because I think I conflate what I want the character to be to, like, I make that a shortcoming on the writers when it's not going my way. I don't know. Like, I think we're all guilty of proof texting different characters in different ways with, like, well, with Jets, you have to understand blah, 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 blah. And I can do that with
right,
Logan.
Right.
And I can do that with Emily. Demi's pretty level-headed about everyone so far.
That's because my favorite character is essentially a cartoon at this point. Paris doesn't have storylines where she's mean and it's a bad thing.
That's true. True. Do you have any final questions for us, Marcy?
No, that's all I got. I just wanted to call and say hey.
Well, hello.
Hey, stars holla.
Right, bye,
don't
guys.
Text and drive. Bye. What?
Nothing. Just thinking about life, you know? Thinking about how those precious moments, they come so quickly and slips away. So just like sands of an hourglass. You feel me?
Well, I would say to that, some people wait, I don't know, a lifetime.
For a moment like
this? Like this.
Some people wait forever for that one special kiss.
By the way, here's one thing. Someone's pointed out to us, Kelly Clarkson is a big Gilmore Girls fan.
Is she?
Mm-hmm.
Should I text her? Should I ask her if she wants to come on the show?
Yeah. Oh, gosh, we
always just assume
can't do
that
this
she
bit anymore.
I just there's no bit. Should I text her? Should I text Kelly Clarkson, my close personal friend, and
yes!
ask if she wants to come onto the TV show?
Text
under
her.
Okay, I'll do it right now.
Text her.
I'm text her. I'm the killer.
Define Big Gilly. How do we know this? Who's the source of this?
Twitter.
Ah.
An infallible source of why isn't anyone calling anymore?
Because everyone's over it.
Also a big gilly, Dan Savage. Nope, let me say that again. Fred Savage.
Yeah.
Yeah. From the Grinder.
Here we go.
All you have
Hello.
To do is call out names.
Hello?
Howdy.
Hi, are you on a plane?
No, we're in the car going to Disney World.
What?
We talked to someone at Disney World last time, or Disneyland. In the first call-in show. Sup, who are we talking to?
Catherine and Jacqueline.
K and J. JK.
Yep. Perfect.
Wow, that joke really crushed.
Well, technically, she is J.
Oh, she's a K as well? So add one more, and Demi can't talk to you. Am I right?
No, I said C. Catherine with a C.
Oh.
A J and a C. Jesus Christ.
Superstar.
Or Shazay.
Superstar.
Jacqueline and Catherine, let's talk about moments.
Okay, so my moment that I want to talk about is actually from 509. It's possibly my favorite moment in the series.
Perfect.
And it is an Emily moment.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yup. It is when Emily comes home from her date.
Yes, that's top 10.
Foyer,
yeah, she cries.
Yes, and it breaks my heart every time I watch it.
because we want Emily to do better than this. She's fooling herself. See, Demi and I were talking that there wasn't enough of a bridge between Emily and Richard fighting to their reconciliation, but I disagree because of moments like this.
Yes.
If that didn't exist, if she came home and had a great time, and then they had a weird thing with the dog in 5-11, then I'd be like, oh, maybe not. But I think the crying was enough to get me to the place in 5-12 where it's like, car crash, and we're back together.
The thing is, for me, the bridge between her crying privately without Richard being there to all of a sudden she and Richard are very civil with each other and trying to look after this dog together with no conflict whatsoever feels like there's a step missing because she's crying in private. Richard is not there. And I know she's crying about Richard not being there, but it feels like if you're sad in private, you don't turn around and like to Richard go, oh, okay, things are good now, you know? I feel like she's still got to keep up the facade of I'm frustrated with you, and there's none of that in 5-11 for me.
And by the way, this is the third call in the row that we've gotten the best moment being something with Emily, which thank you, callers. Thank you for reading my heart.
Yeah. Well, I think it fits because Emily is so guarded all the time, and she's so still in that world of, like, I'm the homemaker, I'm the socialite, I have to, like, always be on top of my game. And then you just see her break down and kill me. And I think that it shows that she's been feeling the separation a lot harder than she lets on.
Right. And I think that comes across very well in 509, but I don't think, especially for her being so guarded, I feel like there should be something else that bridges the gap from her being guarded to her being suddenly very open and like almost back together as if nothing happened with Richard in 5-11 when have to take care of that dog in the snow. That's really the only thing for me. I think both of those moments are very powerful and they're great. And I love them both so much. Like, her crying is incredible. And them teaming up to, like, take care of this dog is one of the funniest and sweetest things the show does. But the gap between the two feels so weird to me.
That's true. You know what it reminded me of was when Emma Thompson breaks down in Love Actually.
I have not seen it.
What?
Well, I haven't seen Love Actually.
I'm not surprised.
Love Actually sucks. Love Actually sucks for women, I would say. Sorry, I ran to get a pretzel.
A lot of...
Hello.
I couldn't hear what you said.
Oh, I said Love Actually sucks for women. Continue.
Oh, totally does. Totally. That was one of those movies I loved when I watched it for the first time when I was 13, and then I rewatched it. I'm like, wait a minute.
Everyone's an object and a prize to win rather than people. It's weirdly written from the male gaze, but women love that movie. And it's so interesting to me why that is.
I have very conflicted feelings about that movie because every time I rewatch it, I like it a little bit less.
Good.
Definitely not into it as I used to be. But the scene where Emma Thompson goes in the bedroom and Joni Mitchell's playing and she just like drops everything, I see parallels in those two.
Totally. Yeah, I see that. I thought you were going to say Jason Mantzoukas is in there.
Is he in that movie?
No, but he listened to Joni Mitchell every night for 10 years before he went to sleep.
Are you guys having a fire drill in your car?
Are you being abducted by aliens?
Yeah. Yep. We just got an Amber Alert.
Oh, fun. And at Disney World, of all places, oh, boy.
Jacqueline, do you have anything you want to say? Oh, well, I was going to say, speaking of watching things more and more and liking it less and less, I'm liking Rory a little less and less, just noticing how self-centered she is. Like, especially the moment when she's talking to Marty and they're studying and then she's like, oh, okay, well, I'm done talking about myself, so I'm going to fall asleep. I don't care about you and your dad problems and anything like that. She is showing more and more how into herself she is. And I don't like that.
Yeah. It feels like a very slow burn of that character becoming more and more self-centered, but it's definitely something that's hard not to see the way that we're watching this, like, one week at
a time.
Right,
yeah. Yeah, because I was 15 when the season first came out, and now I'm 25 watching it. I see so many more things. I'm like, oh, Rory, why are you doing this?
You know, and it's interesting, too, because I feel like those sort of things are usually things that are glossed over in binge culture, in the binge culture of binge watching a TV show. It's like, I just crammed in 6 episodes tonight. oh, what happened in episode two? Oh, I don't quite remember. But it's interesting to me to hear people who like, oh, I watched every week. And then in rewatching it, even if you're binging it as an adult, those things still stick out. I think that's an interesting idea.
They definitely do. And I definitely idolized Rory when I was 15 because I was like, I want to be Rory. I wrote for the school newspaper. I want to do all these things. And now I rewatch it. I'm like you guys say, she's a terrible journalist. She really is.
Well, she's not.
Ideas.
Here's the thing.
Not good ideas.
Yeah, and I think I agree with what I said, but I think overall, maybe we're being too harsh on her because she's a kid.
I don't think so.
Really?
People keep emailing us to say, like, Rory's learning, and that's why we shouldn't be so hard on her. But I don't. I think she's a terrible investigative journalist. I feel like she's...
Yeah, and if she's in a program where they have a strong newspaper, like her fiction... I don't know if Yale Daily News is that. But I was for a short time a journalism major, and I went to UNC Chapel Hill, which is a good journalism program, and I worked for the newspaper, and everybody there was like Paris. Everybody. It was very intense, and it was a different environment than they portray on the show.
It truly is like a writer's room of non-journalists imagining what maybe they think journalism is, but even by those standards, it kind of falls flat.
The thing that bums me out about her journalism and why I call her a bad journalist is not because I think she's not smart or that she doesn't put in the work. It's literally just the investigative process that she uses is insanely bad. Like, with her at the Life and Death Brigade, with her even talking to Logan, I'm just like, you clearly are just ignoring the rules that this society has set in place. And you're like, I don't care about the rules you have. I just want you to answer these questions and I will go. And I'm just like, I know so little about journalism, but I know for a fact that that is terrible. And I feel like if I can be so confident in knowing that, like, oh, that's not how you should do that, I'd think that I'm fine in saying, like, oh, she's a terrible investigative journalist. It's not the idea that she's a bad writer, because I think that's the skill that is keeping her at the Yale Daily News. I just think that she is.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Do you guys have any questions for us before we go?
Oh man, are you excited about watching season 7?
Yeah,
for the first time.
Not excited yet.
I maintain that I am still excited and have always been excited for season 7.
Here's my problem right now, because I think it'll be okay, but I think what I'm worried about now is that whatever earnest and sincere reaction I have to the season, people are going to say, "Oh, well, you were going to have that reaction anyway. Your mind was made up even before you watched it." So, because I've been saying all these negative things about it because I saw like an episode and a half of season 7, I'm afraid now that whatever I say is completely invalidated because of what I've been saying in the lead up to it. So, I hope people don't think I really and truly am going to try and go into it with as open a mind as possible, because I don't think it's fun to approach things from any other position. Or
clear eyes, full hearts, good show.
One cup, can't lose. Parker Lewis.
Clear eyes, full hearts. We also just started marathoning Friday Night Lights, so thank you for that.
You're welcome. Wait, because of us?
No, that was our show that we decided to start together recently. But it is very funny that you guys watch a lot of the same shows that we're like, oh, those are our favorites too.
I feel like people often bring up shows that you watch, and I'm just like,
That's
not
true. West Swing, Friday Night Lights,
and I'm always just
Buffy.
Like, nope. But I also wouldn't have watched this show if it weren't for the podcast, so it's just me not being in that world.
That's true, and I appreciate how well you critique it and put your heart and soul into it, even though it probably wouldn't have been your number one choice of TV shows to watch.
Still isn't.
With that said, will you guys ever watch Felicity, or have you ever seen Felicity?
I have not seen Felicity. I doubt I'm going to watch it. Although I do like Carrie Russell.
Oh my goodness. Okay, yeah, then don't watch it if you don't like her.
No, I do like Carrie Russell.
No, he said he does like her.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I got to start watching The Americans.
Yeah, I might want to watch The Americans before I get into Felicity.
True. I've heard that show is really good.
Yeah.
I have a theory. I kind of like when worlds existed before cell phones, and that's a show that definitely shows like what life was like before we could just be in constant contact with each other.
Mm.
Yeah, it's funny to see how like how that just the presence of cell phones negates a lot of dramatic conflict.
Yeah, definitely true in that show especially.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for calling in, J&C. Have fun at Disney World.
Thanks so much. It was so nice talking to you guys.
You as well. Tell Mickey we say hello.
And we will. Keep up the great work. We love you guys.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Oh my gosh. I'm just kidding.
I was like, you know we're recording, right?
Oh, no.
No.
I didn't read the Apple books.
Oh, boy.
Hello, you've reached General Electric. How can I help you?
Hi, I have a problem with my electricity bill.
Oh, that's the wrong... Press 3 for billing and support.
Can I just speak to a real person? I hate speaking to machines.
Is this Carissa?
No.
Oh.
It's a totally new person. You don't know me at all.
Oh.
Wait, who is this?
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi, my name's Allie. How you doing?
We're good. How you doing, Allie? This isn't Allie Gertz, is it?
No, different Allie too. But I'm annoyed that she has the same name as me because she's so much cooler than me.
Are you in Australia, Allie?
I am Australian, but I'm in Canada.
Oh. Expat.
Oh, I'm impressed I didn't mangle that then. Cool. Well, we're talking about moments today, Allie. What's one of your favorite moments from the show?
Well, I wanted to talk about, it's not necessarily my favorite moment. It's kind of my most hated moment, almost.
Cool.
When, which episode is it? One of them with Digger, and he's just come back from Australia, and Lorelai says, "Timey Wallaby Down Sport." And that's not the words to the song. It's Timey Kangaroo Down Sport.
Oh, she mangled it.
There's a song?
No, she doesn't sing the song. She quotes the song.
I don't know the song.
Does she sing it or does she quote it?
No, she just quotes it. And the whole song is like, oh my God, I'm not going to sing it. But it's like, Timey Kangaroo Down Foot, Timey Kangaroo Down. And yeah, she said wallaby. And I'm like, is that something to do with like copyright? Because you know, usually people on this show get their references correct.
Oh, I wonder if that is. Then there's no version of the song that has that word in wallaby instead of kangaroo?
No, I don't think so. I think it's like one of those things where people say that Australians say throw a shrimp on the bobby, but we actually call it prawns.
Throw a shrimp on the prawn?
No.
That sounds
throw
weird.
A prawn.
Allie, are you sure? Are you sure about that?
I'm pretty sure I'm Australian. I have been in Canada for a year and a half now, so maybe it's grown out of me, but I don't think so.
We'll double check you on that one.
We're going to bing it.
Yeah, if you guys could teach me about Australia, I would really appreciate it.
That's what we're here to do. Our show is a show of men culturally educating women.
Oh, boy.
And explaining it to them in a man way, almost mansplaining it to them.
No, you do it very well.
Oh, I'm just kidding. But thank you if you enjoy the show. Do you have any other questions for us?
I think that's about it, really. Unless you have any Gilmore boys calling in who you want to set me up with, that would be great.
Oh, a Gilmore boy.
Either in Canada or Australia. I'm happy to pick one.
Our home and native land. I don't know. You know, we still want love to happen whenever it can. So maybe go to Wee Gilly.
If anyone's around, send
maybe we should start like a single section on WeeGilly.com.
Yes.
On our Facebook, like
I've
singles.
I've had to educate a couple of my ex-boyfriends into Gilmore Girls, and if I just had one that I didn't have to educate into, like straight from the bat, that would be great.
It's the most important thing. I'd rate it above character, virtue, integrity, religion, worldview. If you like Gilmore Girls, those things will fall into place.
Exactly. That's it, right? It's
yeah.
Like if I'm quoting The Simpsons all the time, if I'm quoting Gilmore Girls and you just understand it, it makes life a lot easier.
Right. If you quote The Simpsons, my eyes pop out like a cartoon wolf.
Eat your shorts. You're wearing them.
Ooga.
Yikes. Well, I mean, we can do that, too. You're probably a little young for me, but, you know, I'm not picky, so it's fine.
Oh, yeah, sure. Were you hitting on her?
Me? No. I mean, I am now. What's Canada like?
Terrible. Just terrible. No, that's mean. It's not. It's lovely. Australia's way better there, and I just wanted to stand up for our kangaroos. That's all.
Okay. We
someone's got to stand up for those Joeys.
Before you, and Chandler's, before you go, what is one other big misperception people might have about Australia that you would like to go on record in front of literally dozens of listeners and correct?
For God and Country.
For Michael Jackson. Wow.
I mean, have you ever heard of drop bears?
Drop bears?
No one tells people about drop bears.
Wait, are these bears?
Basically,
sorry, are these the bears that like will be in trees and just drop down?
Yeah, they look like koalas, but they are like more, koalas are quite passive and drop bears are like angrier. And they live in the city, and they like drop down at you and try to bite you.
they have condos.
Not in like the city and town, but like closer than you would find a normal koala.
This sounds awful. Australia sounds like hell.
So, whoa. You're going to alienate a lot of our fan base,
no,
dude.
No, look, I love you Australians, but your city sounds like hell. You got all sorts of you got all sorts of animals. You got all sorts of insects and shit that don't exist on other continents.
Here's,
you know, prison colony.
Here's my impression of Paul Giamatti being overwhelmed by Australia. Ah, Demi, there's bears falling from the sky.
That's your impression of Taylor Day or Luke Day. Taylor Danes.
Who?
Luke
Taylor
Danes being being overwhelmed by Australia.
No. It's different. Like,
is it?
Because with Paul Giamatti, his voice cracks a little bit. It's like, Demi. There's bears falling from the sky. It's a C-minus impression.
I will apologize for insulting Australia, but I will also say that it has become a treasure. It feels like the island of Dr. Moreau. Every time I hear about it.
And I love Finding Nemo. Can't go wrong with that one.
It's true. 32 Sydney, Sydney.
1122 Boogie Woogie Avenue. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for calling
in,
Ellie.
That's what I like to tell people. Not a problem, guys. Have a good show.
Thank you
as well.
Hi.
Did we get weirdly nervous at the end of that call?
No, I didn't get nervous until I thought about people emailing us about Australia, and I was like, well, I should say I'm kidding.
Australia, we love you. Hello, you're on with the Gilmore Guys.
Hey, guys, how are you doing?
Howdy, how are you?
Who are we talking to?
Hey, this is Andrew. I'm calling from Pittsburgh.
Hey, Andrew from Pittsburgh. Wait, did you go to our Philly show? That's near Pittsburgh, right?
Are you kidding me? That's on the other end of the state. It's like a 6-hour drive.
Kevin, it's like you don't even know.
6 hours? That's
I
nothing.
I didn't know.
I think everything
know,
in the Northeast
you guys
is
have people driving from Michigan, right?
At the D.C. show.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was the one.
Ew.
You guys ever planning on coming back to the East Coast?
I think so.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah.
I think. At least New York.
Okay. All right, try and work it out so you're on this side of the state next time. But anyway, I wanted to call and pick a bone with you guys about episode 417, Girls in Bikinis, Guys Doing the Twist.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah. You guys didn't really like that episode, did you?
It was fine. I mean, it was an excursion because that's the one where they go on spring break and then Luke finds out Nicole's cheating on him, maybe.
I just hate how lack of resolution on the Nicole front, where we just kind of assume. On any other show, it would have been like, we would have seen him be like, oh, this sock, that's the smoking gun I need. And then he goes into the room, it's like, that's my brother. And then Luke is embarrassed. But for them to just kind of make it like, you gotta assume that that's what happened, I was frustrated. But I genuinely don't remember how I felt about that episode. I'm going to the Wikipedia now to see what I gave it.
Oh my gosh, we have to look up our own ratings now. Yeah. It's true, we've done so many that it's hard. But yeah, it was okay. It was an okay episode. It wasn't bad, but it was all right. What was your bone we had to... Oh, the call disconnected.
What?
Should
we call him back? What happened?
If we get disconnected from you, we call your name.
WWGGD.
I'm so sorry. My daughter just knocked the phone out of my hand.
Oh, no sweat.
Hey, parenting. That's what this show's all about, in a way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so you're bone to pick with us with 417.
Oh, yeah. Well, you guys, what you didn't do is really recognize how that episode really shows Paris and Rory's friendship getting closer. And that's got to have one of my favorite moments in the entire series is when Paris looks at Louise and Madeline and says, did we really used to be friends?
Yeah.
That just, feel like it shows the growth in, I don't know, Ferris and Rory's relationship quite a bit. So
yeah, it's totally. Well, I think that's what's interesting about what the show does sometimes is the... And other like long form TV shows like that, where you get to see character development over a long period of time, is that the growth is almost invisible, and then you're just there because it's almost like with Rory and Paris, they're hanging out a bunch at 4:17, but it's almost like that's like not the arc of the episode, but it does exist. But yeah, it's a cool thing to recognize and like see. Oh man, even like a season and a half ago, this would not have been able to happen and occur, and kind of like the schemes and Paris trying to live in the moment and kiss Rory, and then they just end up watching Heart of Darkness or The Power of Myth or whatever it is. Not Heart of Darkness, mm-hmm. That's a different thing. But yeah, that's Power a good episode for it. That. That's a good line.
Yeah, that's gotta be my favorite. So whenever my wife and I pick up the series again, that's where we start.
That's a standout app, is 4:17.
I gave it an 8.
Oh, you did?
I did.
What did I give it?
You gave it a 7.
I
and
did.
Tara gave it a 6.
Because 7, 8, 9.
Yeah, it was just... Well, it was, I think, the lowest rated episode in, like, a string of 5 episodes or something like that. So, yeah, it just disappointed me.
That was a good streak they had in season 4.
Oh, yeah, some of the best episodes, definitely.
So, cool. Do you have any other questions for us, Andrew?
Oh, no, just when are you guys coming to Pittsburgh and... anything you guys want added to the wiki?
Oh, did you do the wiki,
Andrew?
Oh, Andrew
Moores. Or Mowers?
You did the wiki! You did the wiki!
You literally did the thing that I had to reference to tell you that I gave it an 8. Well, okay. Thank you.
Guys, big stars haul out to Andrew Moores, who's on the phone with us right now, who put together our comprehensive, insanely great Wikipedia page that shows every rating for every episode and is wonderful. And this is the man on the phone doing it. Wow. Wow.
Yes. And I think I've just outed myself as an obsessive fan, so I'll...
How dare you?
Right on.
Thank you so much, and thank you for calling in.
Yeah, that's no small feat, is updating a twice-a-week podcast wiki page. That's a lot to keep up with, so we really appreciate it.
Hey, well, you know what? It's my pleasure. You know, you guys actually got me interested in podcasts to begin with, so here's an interesting note. If you guys had never started your podcast, there wouldn't be a wiki page for Womp It Up either. So.
Oh, cool.
What, you're welcome, Jessica St. Clair. No,
yeah, we owe her. She owes us so much. So we were kind of your gateway. What other podcasts do you like listening to now? I assume Comedy Bang Bang?
Oh, yeah. Comedy Bang Bang, Womp It Up, Spontanea Nation, really anything with Paul F. Tompkins and Lauren Lapkus, who I also was introduced to through your show.
Oh, Lapkus, they're great.
Paul F. Tompkins through the Thrilling Adventure Hour. Which I am. Heartbroken that's going off the air.
Which one?
Thrilling Adventure Hour.
Oh, I know. It's so sad. I know. They're doing a show in New York City tonight, actually, at the Bell House.
Are they?
Yeah. They're doing, like, it's not, it's a version of the Thrilling Adventure Hour, but I think PFT's doing it, too.
Right.
But, yeah, Paul Tompkins is one of those gateway guests where it's like, if I never listen to a podcast, I'll listen to the one episode of it that he's on.
His special is on tonight.
Yes. Well, in the past now.
Right. Now, in the past, for those of you listening at home, you should get a special, Crying and Driving?
Crying and Driving. Indeed. Well, Andrew, that's so awesome. That's so cool for us to hear that we, you know, got that. The idea that we turned anyone on to people like Paul Tompkins or Lauren Lapkus is amazing.
Insanely flattering.
Yeah. It's like we get to
Well, you guys are doing good work.
Dude, thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
Hey, it's a pleasure.
Hey, right, talk to you later, Andrew. Bye.
Bye.
What a dude. What a dude.
What a dude. What a dude. What a dude. What a mighty fun dude.
Santa can her. It either rains and it pours or it's a desert. There's no calls coming in. Well,
never
right
rains
now.
In Southern California. That's what they say.
Bears that fall from the sky, who live in the city and ride the subway, who have high-rise condos.
God, Australia. You're doing something right and a lot of things wrong. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I love Australia and I hope to visit and I hope to be allowed to visit as opposed to being...
Jimmy, are you saying you're going to do a show?
What?
Oh, no, that's
wow.
Kind of, no, that's bad.
What? No, don't cut that out, Mr. Michael Caine, who is supposedly from Australia. Whenever I do an Australian accent, I always start by saying no in an Australian accent because it's my favorite. It's just no.
No.
No?
Because it's a real journey. It's like going N-O-U. In a circle.
Yeah.
No.
No, it's not. And then I'd fuck it up from there, so I don't know. All my friends can do Australian accents better than I can, except for you. Somehow you don't got the genes, kid.
I don't have the genes. Again, I'm not doing an Australian accent.
This is the prestige. First of all, you put the shrimp on the Barbie. And then you say hello to your Joey. And he says, good day, mate.
Good day, mate.
Good day, mate.
There's no knife. This is a knife.
There's not a knife, Mr. Wayne. This is a knife.
Where are the calls?
I don't know. Call-in shows become when no one calls in, it just becomes us vamping for a bit, and we're not good at it.
There's
a call coming in right now, Mr. Wayne.
Thank God. Hello, you're on with the Gilmore Guys.
And Vin Diesel.
Hey, it's Miriam Elise. How are you guys?
Hello.
Sup.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm a little tired, but other than that, doing good. So you guys are talking about favorite moments of the show tonight?
Or least favorite
just
moments.
Just any moment that you're like, I gotta get this out. I gotta talk about it.
Oh, gosh. Well, see, I was all prepared to say, well, I'll say this. It's funny because I got to thinking, okay, what are my favorite moments? What are my favorite moments? And a lot of mine are either haven't happened yet or they actually happened in season 7, which is weird because I don't like the first half of season 7. There's a ton of stuff, but as it gets towards the end, it gets a lot better and it gets more kind of true to the feeling of the original show. At least favorite moments. Oh God. Anything with Dean, probably. I've never been a big Dean fan. Especially, which I guess this is kind of cliche, but like the whole Dean made her a car and then she was like, I love you. And then, he was like, I love you. And then she was like, I really don't know what to say here. Cause that's the worst thing in the whole world is when you're kind of like, I really don't know if I felt the same way and somebody's expecting you to reciprocate their feelings. So
Dean is like the imaginary boyfriend Riley makes in Inside Out, where it's like he's very dedicated.
I would die for Riley.
Yeah, he's very dedicated, but past that it's like, all right, what else you got? And it's just like, oh, I don't care.
Right, exactly. That's exactly what Dean is. He's the imaginary Riley boyfriend, exactly.
He's what you want. Continue.
No, I was just going to say I love Inside Out, so.
Yeah.
Yay.
That's great. Okay.
Kevin, you seen it? Have you ever seen it?
Yeah, four times.
Have you ever seen that movie?
It's four times.
Mm.
Well, any other cues you want us to A?
Well, I don't think so. No, I actually feel like I talk to it a lot because whenever you're talking, I'm like, no, or, agreeing with you or whatever while you're on the air. And I'm like, oh, by the way, you guys can't get me, so.
I hope that the results of us doing this show is that we make a lot of people look insane to people in public who are laughing on the subway,
yeah,
who are talking back to us in their cars or on a park bench screaming at their iPhones.
I've never listened to a recap show or like followed any sort of show that goes and like talks about anything that I've seen or whatever. So I don't know that feeling but I'm imagining people listening to us say something they completely disagree with and get frustrated. And that's when I sort of get it. But I'm so detached from that feeling of like, cause I don't do, I've talked about how I'm like not really a fandom person. I kind of watch a thing and then I just go, all right, what's next? But, it's very cool to hear from people who like get that feeling and get the feeling of being frustrated based on someone else's opinion and sort of simultaneously hearing people talk about a thing and then being frustrated that you cannot input your own voice into that conversation. And I get it. And I like that we do these call-in shows and I like that we do like Gilmore Guys because I think it's...
So you can yell right back at us.
Right.
On the air.
So if you do want to ever...
I don't
want to
yell at you guys.
I'm just saying, if you do want to yell at us, if there's anything right now that you're like, I cannot believe you guys did this, or thank God you guys did this, like, you got an open channel of communication.
Well, the only thing I will say is this. Okay, I think that you guys are a little too light on Jess's mom. I think she's probably a cool, funky person now, but I think that just from personal experience, like not, I guess not me myself personally, but from knowing people who's like, yeah, your mom's really cool. And they're like, yeah, she is now, you know, that she's kind of grown up and is adult and is, you know, 50 years old or whatever.
Sure.
But when, you know, when they were younger, they were, you know, whatever, terrible parents and didn't do right by their children and that sort of thing. So I like to think at least like that's Jess's backstory. Like she was just a flake. Like she left him, you know, at school and we forget to come pick him up and then be like, oh, sorry. Or, you know, it's like, oh, we don't have any groceries in the house. Here, just eat this can of, you know, sardines or whatever. And that's all they had for dinner. You know, that's just like what I imagine, you know, if they're writing Jess's mom, okay, this is how she used to be. And now she's cool because she's kind of grown up and, you know, her other half or whatever, but before that maybe she was kind of a flake, and that really did cause Jess to kind of, you know, rebel and kind of go off the rails or whatever.
Not a team Jess,
but I just always thought like that's probably how she was and that's probably part of his problem. So
So many people have written in about this and about my feelings about Christopher not being so bad. And I think with both of them, I'm wondering if I'm just more forgiving of these characters.
Of
because
a person.
No, just of these characters, because it's like when we see them, they kind of are introduced in a way that it's like, yeah, you should like them. They don't really do anything wrong now, but in the past they were bad. And I'm just kind of like, well, it's hard for me to see that. And it's hard for me to watch these characters be angsty towards a character that we are seeing do very nice things or at least make an attempt to. And I also wonder if it's like my other half of this is, let's say that they were to a degree bad when growing up, are we supposed to be on Jess's side as like, oh, forgive him for being mean or whatever to Rory because his mom screwed him up? Wouldn't we be like, your mom screwed you up by not loving you right, don't do the same to the people that love you currently? Because I feel like that's how I'm looking at it, where it's like, I don't care how your mom was to you. I think that if you're going, like, if that makes you a worse person because of how you were treated in growing up, then I think that you should get over that before deciding to bring someone else into your life and try to, you know, bring them into a relationship where they have to also deal with your baggage.
Oh, right. Absolutely. I mean, he had, you know, no business acting, you know, the way he did, regardless
right.
of his background. You know, I look at Liz and I'm like, okay, she's cool now. And I know moms that are like that. They're cool now, but, you know, what were they like before? So,
right.
And see, I tend to be the same way in real life. Like, I tend to be like, well, you know, somebody did something wrong or they didn't do what they say they did, but maybe something happened and, you know, they just had a complication. We had somebody that didn't show up for an interview the other day, and I was like, well, maybe their car broke down, or, you know, maybe this
right.
or maybe that. And I'm like, I cannot be giving these people second chances all the time because I know it's going to happen. But I tend to be like, oh, you know, they're probably a really good person. They just made a mistake. So I'm with you 100%.
Right.
Yeah, Liz is the best person on Gilmore Girls. Yeah,
absolutely.
We agree.
Yep.
That's the conclusion we've come to.
Yep. Exactly.
Well, thank you for calling in.
Thanks for talking to me. It took me a while to get through, but I'm glad I kept at it.
Yeah, we're sorry about it taking so long. We had some technical difficulties earlier.
And we'll be meaner to Liz in the future.
Cool. Okay. Sounds good.
No,
that's a good plan. All right. You guys have a good night. Well, it's still like the middle of the day here. There, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like 4 o'clock.
It's like 4:20,
yeah,
bro.
Oh, it is 4:20.
Oh,
shit. That's the weed time.
See it, and it's 6:20 here. So.
Woo hoo hoo.
Smoke right. weed 2 hours late.
See ya.
Howdy. You did it.
Hey, guys. It's Annie Fogarty.
Hey. Hello.
Annie. Wait, do we
hey
know
guys,
this person?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
I don't know who this is.
Yeah, who this? Who Jackie?
New phone.
Who this new phone?
Who Jackie? Yeah, but how's it going, guys?
It's going great. We just recorded 512, and now we're sitting here, and I'm hunching forward to speaking to the microphone.
Sitting on the edge of couch. Making
very
sure
nice,
that weed
very
will
nice.
Not slouch. Yeah, it's fun.
So anyway, have you guys gotten some interesting favorite or moments that people love and hate so far?
We've gotten a moment someone loved in 417. We've gotten three Emily moments. We've gotten... I don't remember.
We got a moment about Australia that someone hated, which we just wanted to clear the air about Australians in general.
We love Australians.
Very pro-Aussie.
Pro-Aussie. Hello, I'm from Australia.
Oh my God, we are now...
I love how you sound like something out of a Dickens, like, movie, Kevin, when you do your Australian
Hello,
accent.
Governor.
Miss Evesham, I'm going to date your daughter, innit?
or rather, My Fair Lady. That's more accurate, I'd say.
The rain in Spain falls mainly on the plain.
Mr. Wayne.
Eliza.
The rain on
exactly.
the Wayne.
So is there a moment that you specifically wanted to talk about?
Yeah. I mean, I've been trying to think of a decent one. And today I found one that I hadn't thought of before. I wouldn't normally just use as a go-to. It's actually from 403. The Hobbit, the Sofa, and Digger Stiles. Emily is very, like, pro-Digger at first, and then they have the girls over for Friday night dinner, and Richard reveals that he's going into business with Jason, and as he's explaining it, he's saying that the main reason he's excited about it is because it's going to be revenge on Floyd. And there's a moment where Emily is looking at him and listening to him, just delighting in this. And she looks horrified. And it's kind of a moment where she is seeing a side of Richard that she never has before. And seriously, Kelly Bishop's face says 4,000 things in that one moment. It's such great face acting without saying a word.
The arc that they're telling on this show is that Richard is evil.
Yeah.
Secretly, he might be more manipulative than Emily.
When are we going to see him sitting beside like a fireplace, just like crushing glass in his hand?
They left at it like dogs. We kind of did. Yeah. We kind of
like,
did.
Slowly exhale from a cigarette at the end, and like it just pans out away from Richard. yeah, but I mean, just a sinister moment. But it got me thinking because you guys recently covered 507, obviously, and even though Lorelai insists throughout the series that Emily is the evil, conniving, sinister one of her parents, and I mean, her father's just kind of along for that ride, I feel like we actually end up seeing more, just sinister plots being devised by Richard, because with this whole thing in 403, where he really is delighted that he's going to bring down Floyd with Jason in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
In 418, then when he meets with Floyd on the golf course and they're plotting Jason's downfall, then in 507, after the golf with Luke, he says to Emily, "But you're not thinking ahead."
Which they dropped completely. They totally dropped that.
So do you guys think, is Richard actually the bad guy?
The thing about Richard being the bad guy is they spend so much time trying to make Emily the villain in scenes, and then they just make Richard the bad guy as well. They don't go, Richard's the bad guy and Emily's good.
Right, right,
they
right.
go, Emily is bad, but also Richard's bad a little. Like,
yeah.
The thing they did in a recent episode where they're having barbecue out in Richard's pool house, and Emily comes in and, like, causes a storm of, like, we're just having appetizers. And she's like, no, you're not. You're trying to steal dinner away from me. They very much make it seem like, Emily, calm down. You're being a bit crazy, which is like the most manipulative thing of just like
Maleficent.
Yeah, Maleficent. It's that kind of move of when someone goes like just pulls on their collar to go, oh, awkward. When someone else goes
to try to frame someone else as the crazy.
Yes,
yeah.
And it's so frustrating. And it's just like you're clearly trying to make Emily the bad person when Richard is just as bad. Which is why they're perfect for each other. They're just evil in very different ways.
They're evil in different ways. Their evilness complements each other.
Yes, Emily. Emily is the guns a-blazing, like, she'll just come in and just like, I'm here to wreak havoc. Richard's like, oh, Emily, don't you know? I already wreaked havoc 35 minutes ago. She's like Ozymandias in Watchmen.
Yeah.
Or he is, rather.
Oh, shit.
So I think they're both, well, like, quietly evil, just in different ways.
I feel like it's that Emily causes a scene. She's very fussy. She's very demanding. She gets what she wants, and that makes it seem like she is, like, unfair to, say, Lorelai and other characters. We see that in the scene in a mall episode where she's just kind of pointing things out, demanding things, the way she fires maids in a very frivolous way. But does she ever really, up to this point, do anything kind of personally harmful to anyone besides just kind of little, like, making a fuss
We just talked about 512, Annie, and I think definitely at the end of this episode.
I wanted to make sure that I was just at a good point for acting. So, yeah, Demi last night said 509 is a good ending point.
Yeah, I think we can do 510 through 12.
Yeah,
stuff, right?
Yeah. I didn't know when this was going to come out, and I also didn't want it to be like, oh, we talked about those in 5.11, but we haven't released 5.11, so no one knows. Anyway,
right.
But yeah, we talked.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we just recorded 5.12, and the end of 5.12 is heartbreaking for a very, so many reasons.
That's where we see a complete switch, but I'm not going to get into that. You guys, I'm sure, discussed it at length.
Yeah, we were very upset.
Anyway, that was a moment I found it to be interesting because I love Emily's look and how just one look says so many things, and so it's a favorite moment of Emily, but then simultaneously it's one of my least favorite moments of Richard, so I just found that to be pretty interesting. Never really noticed it before.
And I think, truthfully, Emily has more self-awareness than Richard does. And Emily's more vulnerable more times. The last vulnerable, like, truly vulnerable Richard moment I can remember seeing is at the end of 212, when he comes home after he feels useless from Stars Hollow. Or when he's saying, like, why do you think I defended you? When he's talking to Christopher about Strobe. And Francine, like, those moments are vulnerable, but we see a lot more vulnerability from Emily, and I feel like she kind of has, like, when she's talking about the maid, she's like, you know what, I pay them more than anyone else, I want them a certain way, so she's clogging around like a freaking clog dancer, you know, whereas Richard's like, whoa, no, that's just the way things are done, like, he's more in a state of denial, I think, than Emily is. Not that she's not, but I think he is more so.
All right. Well, I mean, just to kind of wrap it up, because I know that there are a bajillion other people calling in. But,
a gillion?
Like, it's
no.
Nope.
I see what you did there. But with his, like, sincere doting on Rory, it seems like, at least, up till around mid-season 5, seems like she's the only person that he would never get villainous with, if you want to put it there, actually, if I want to put it that way. Just kind of, he would never have any kind of bad intentions or ill intentions towards her. What do you guys think of that? Would you think that he would ever himself fully turn on, like, say, Lorelai? Or now that we're in the midst of the separation between him and Emily, do you think that he might do that involving Emily?
I don't think he'll ever turn on Rory. I think the Luke thing was a weird thing that's not going to come back, like him making the comment of not thinking ahead. Although if it does come back, it's going to come back in the next episode because Emily's clearly set some plan in motion to get Christopher back into Lorelai's life, which I don't like. But I don't know who Richard's next target, if anyone, is going to be.
Next target.
Yeah. Who's the next next on his gallery of rogues?
Sure.
Who knows?
All right, cool. Well, thank you, guys.
Thanks, Annie.
I'm excited that I actually got through. I feel like Charlie getting the golden ticket when I got through there.
Right?
totally.
Like Charlie bit your finger, but, and then you got a golden ticket. Right? Right, guys?
That's exactly what she was talking about.
Annie, do you want to plug your Etsy store?
Oh, God.
Because you've made so much awesome... For those that don't know, Annie is very talented and has made a lot of badass stuff for us. And for Gilmore Girls and Guys fans. And you have an Etsy store where you're selling them now, right?
Yeah, it's, fogarty.etsy.com. It's fogarty.etsy.com. You can just search that weird word and you'll find all of the things. Also on Instagram, that same name. So look at that stuff. Yeah.
Check it out. They're really cool.
Thank you for the plugs.
Of course. Thanks, Annie.
That's so nice. Thank you, guys. Have a good one. All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Annie. That's what I'll call her.
Annie. Annie.
Annie. Fogarty.
Annie and the Jets.
Hi, you're on with American Airlines customer service. How can I help you?
Yeah, I'm really, really disappointed in the service that I got regarding the bags that got lost on the flight.
Well, wasps are complimentary with the flight on any international flight. If you didn't want the wasp, you should have checked no on your incoming flight checklist.
Incoming flight checklist.
Yeah, those are real.
This is why we're about to get fired from American Airlines customer service.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, that's going to have to happen. Hey, how's it going?
Great. What is your name?
What is your name?
I'm Ashley.
State your name. Hello, Ashley. I'm Demi.
I'm Kevin.
And we're...
The Gilmore...
American
the
Airlines.
The Gilmore guys?
That's
no.
right.
Oh, really?
Cool. We're trying something new. We're going to do a podcast about planes. No.
Oh, okay. Well, that sounds like it'll really take off.
Oh!
It's called Plain Old Fun. Plain silly.
Just plain.
Yeah, it is plain silly.
This could be us, but you plain?
Or just plain round?
Plain house.
There
anyway,
you go.
What's your moment?
Well, I have too many of them. I really just I'm one of those nerds that has moments for every essay season, like every like transitional period of the show. I really love a lot, but I will say that I was trying to think through and figure out what moments stood out to me, and I kept coming back to moments in season 7, and I realized that that's a weird thing nowadays. And so I have moments all throughout the show that are really special, but I really think that you're going to find a lot of poignant moments in season 7.
Really?
Yeah.
I hope we do. I keep saying that I'm excited for season 7. I'm simultaneously excited because I think it'll be fun to make fun of if it's bad, but also it'll be enlightening to have some good things come out of it.
Laura Dern.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, here's the deal. I'm one of those people that has Gilmore Girls on a loop on constantly. You never know. I can be watching a season 2 episode and a season 6 episode within the same day, and it's just kind of all a hodgepodge. This is probably just me being completely unobservant, and that's me. But I never really noticed a change in pace to season 7 until I started watching for it deliberately. I did notice that, just the feel of it all together is a lot different because it goes through a lot heavier stuff, a lot darker. Oh, it is a darker period that it goes through. But I kind of just felt like it was just kind of how life goes sometimes. A lot of the decisions that were made by characters in the story were just part of just how life turns out. Eventually, you go through seasons where you make a bunch of terrible decisions. You go through seasons where you don't really feel like yourself. You grow and learn things about yourself that you maybe didn't realize. Maybe you like it about yourself. Maybe you don't, but you eventually come through it. I really feel like season 8 could have done more with or without Amy Sherman. Of course, I would have loved for her to be there, but I really feel like it deserves more credit than it gets sometimes.
Right. I understand that.
I think it would do well for the Paladinos to figure out how to run a TV show where they don't have to be, not be there every day, because that's what a showrunner does, but have as much control as they do. Because really, like what Sheila Lawrence was talking about, if they could have delegated that show to her in a way where it's almost like the Shonda Rhimes model, or even just like most showrunner models where it's like, yeah, write them, we'll do a pass. We're not going to rewrite every single freaking line of dialogue and have to be on set every day. Essentially, but, you know, maybe that's what they were asking for from the WB. We'll get into, like, the negotiation breakdowns, but they wanted more money for more producers so they could free up some time.
The question is just, would the show have been as good if they did that from the beginning?
Yeah, that's the thing. And, but I think maybe.
It definitely wouldn't, season seven would have been a shock to no one. Like, it would have been like, okay, business as usual, but would it have been, would it have gotten to season seven if they had relegated control? It's a question we literally can never know.
Right.
But,
then let's keep asking.
Well, I just feel like I went back over the past few days and I've been looking through some of the earlier episodes in season seven, and there is a lot of awkward growing pains going on. But I feel like a lot of the things that happened were kind of set up almost in toward the end of season six. So I feel like it kind of carried on a lot of themes that were introduced at the end of season six, and just kind of worked with that. But I feel like a lot of the moments, I guess, that stood out to me are later on in season seven.
And I sincerely look forward to getting to it. I really do. I look forward to it now more than I did before, because I feel like I'm almost like, it's going to be bad, it's going to be bad, to psych myself out, low expectations, and then when it's not the worst thing ever, I'm like, it's pretty good. But we'll see.
Yeah.
Well, do you have any questions for us before we go?
I have questions for you guys all the time, but they're gone. When are you coming to the Southeast?
Define Southeast.
North Carolina, Atlanta-ish.
Well, I'm banned from both Georgia and North Carolina.
For things we cannot talk about on the air.
Yes. A lot of stuff with ATF.
And pigs.
Mm-hmm. Some David Cameron shit. No. There's a lot. There's so many places to go, so little time to get there, but we are going to try and hit every...
Yeah, we have like 10 months left.
Yeah, we got regions. We got regions. We got plans. We're not holding anything back from anyone. Like, as soon as we get the go-ahead that a show is on, we go. It's go. Yeah. Shows happen. So, stay tuned.
When you aim for the Southeast, I'll be there.
Hell yeah.
Well, we hope to see you there at that hypothetical show.
All right. Thanks so much for calling in, Ashley.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Ashley!
Can't do that for every single person.
Sure can.
Hello. Who's this?
Hello?
You can't do that for every single person.
Sorry. Hell? I didn't expect to get through. I've been trying for the last hour.
Oh, boy. Hello.
You're peeking. Hi. Holy crap.
What's your name?
What's your name?
Michelle.
What's your quest?
Hello, Michelle.
Oh, I thought you were calling us Michelle. Michelle.
No.
Okay, Michelle, hello.
Hello.
Let's talk moments. Let's talk your fave moms. Fave moms. Let's,
on the show?
Yeah. Or in your own life. Then you can just tell us about cool stuff that's happened.
Tell us about high
you.
School.
Tell us about college.
I actually just graduated last year.
Congrats.
College or high school?
Thank you. College.
Oh, cool, cool, cool. Do you have any questions for
I
us?
I actually... questions for you guys. Okay. Let's see. If you have to give a theme song, not the theme song of the show, but like a theme song to any of the characters, what would you give them?
All right. Pick a character and I'll sing their theme song.
But like, don't make up a theme song, like an actual song that's already existing.
Fine.
Okay. Pick
a
character.
Yeah, pick a character.
Let's go with Rory.
Sung by Radiohead.
Oh, God. Rory's a karma police for sure. Rory's theme song. Let's see. Rory is book smart, sometimes inconsiderate. Oh, no. It's El Scorcho by Weezer. It's El Scorcho by Weezer. Because she is smart, but she also has a very... like, she has a sort of fixation on... boys that seems unhealthy at times, and then she thinks she's going to get better about it, and she doesn't really, and she's also slightly inconsiderate, and it comes across in the music very well. So every time Rory walks into a room, El Scorcho plays.
Okay, how about Lorelai?
Lorelai. Everyone knows it's Lorelai.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Windy? Yeah.
It would be Windy, but just with the Lorelai lyrics.
Something to some sort of song that's like you walk into a room and everyone turns and stares, you know?
She would probably have a made-up theme song, let's be real.
Oh, yeah.
It would literally just be Lorelai.
It'd be like Who's That Guy from Grease 2, but it's Who's That Girl. Oh, it's Who's That Girl. God.
It's Jess.
It's Lore.
Quirky. Luke's okay, would be Born to Run.
Luke's is Born to Run for sure.
Or My Hometown. Actually, Luke's is My Hometown.
Is that another Springsteen?
Yeah.
I don't know it.
You should.
Yeah, Luke is straight a Bruce Springsteen, dude.
My Hometown. It's Dalton.
That's not what he sounds like.
Stars Hollow is the place for me. 2, 3, 4. Is that not Bruce?
It's almost Bruce. It's almost there.
Bruce Diet.
Michelle's would be... I'm Too Sexy for My Shirt.
It would be.
I'm Too Sexy for My Shirt.
I'm Too Sexy for My Shirt. Yeah.
Jackson's would be, it would be Bad Moon Rising.
I don't know it.
Creedence Clearwater Revival, bro. CCR. He's obsessed by them.
Yeah.
He's obsessed
with
them.
It would be that or Fortunate Son.
It ain't me. Suki's would be something food related, something sweet.
Candyman.
Build me a buttercup.
Why do you build me up?
Oh, that would be a good one.
That would be, yeah. I could see Suki singing that. Paris is just like the theme to CNN or something. Or like the Daily Show theme
this
in a minor
CNN.
Key.
No, hers would be like the orchestral. Hers might be.
Hers is Flight of the Bumblebee. And it calms her down, I bet.
This is how I relax. Moment over. Hey, what's the theme for that Korean boy at dinner?
Oh.
Nature Must Wait.
So we just got to 512 featuring a lovely little Korean child who is just so... He just cannot. He doesn't care about the rules. Or he cares so much about the rules.
Are
that
you
if
pitching
anyone...
a TV show about him?
Yes.
He doesn't care about the rules.
Randall Park was... No, I'm kidding. That was your joke. So that... Tiny rude Korean boys. Rude boy. Come on, rude boy, boy. Is you big
rude
enough?
Boy.
Take it, baby, baby. Bathroom, bathroom. No, wait, no, wait. What other characters are we forgetting to get a theme
song? Richard. What's Richard's?
Richard's theme song is...
9 to 5 by Dolly Parton.
I see Richard... How far are you into Mad Men?
Season 2.
Okay, never mind. I'm trying to think of what's a song about like getting the job done but also being a little bit raunchy. Whistle While You Work.
Whistle While You Twerk.
Whistle While You Work. No, Richard's never seen a Disney cartoon in his life.
And then Emily's would be something elegant, something classy, something sexy. Something beautiful. Can you give me a minute? Hang on.
Something from a musical, I bet.
Hers? Hello, suckers! Love to get back to you on that one. Any other questions for us?
Actually, it's more of a comment. My sister, I have an older sister who's like 2 years older than me. She's currently not, like, she lives at home, like, we both live at home, but she's moving out, and I just want to say hi.
Billy Joel.
And, yes, Billy Joel. To Monica, say like, because I don't know, she's, I'm like sad she's leaving, but I, you know, she has to move on to her life, and
it's kind of like the Gilmore Girls, like, yeah, right?
Yeah, exactly. Except instead of like mother daughter, it's like sisters, because Rory never had a sister, and neither did Lorelai.
Sisters doing it for themselves.
But. Rory probably needed a sister. Truthfully,
what would Rory be like with a sister? Would it be an older sister or a younger sister?
That's something we don't talk about, is that Lorelai and Rory are both only children, and only children are weirdos. All only children are weirdos. She might be. I wish we knew anything about Emily's past.
Does Richard have a sibling?
Not
is everyone in this show an only child? Well, I guess every Gilmore, everyone in the main family.
Yeah.
Luke is not. Jackson isn't.
Lane is,
yeah.
Wow. A lot of only children.
There's a lot of only children.
Yeah. A lot of OCs.
Yeah.
I would say this is the most OC show heavy on it, or most OC heavy show on at this time.
Oh, this has the biggest OC quotient of any show I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Well, no, that was just it.
Shout out to Monica.
Big stars all to her.
I think she's like tweeted stuff at you. She goes into the name Monica Cant on Twitter.
Well, I think she Monica Can. Believe in yourself,
yes,
Monica.
Yes, she Monica Can.
All right. Well, it was really fun talking to you guys.
You as well. Take care.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Wait, what is Emily's theme song?
I don't know. I want to keep talking about it. Miss Fernberg, what
hey,
up?
Hey, Paige.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. Okay. No, I'm not even kidding you right now. The friend who introduced me to you guys was like, if you get on the line, tell them I love them. Because she's in a separate car right now. We're going to dinner.
She screamed that.
Car.
Yeah. Why? I mean, listen, it's a Saturday.
Are you guys racing?
Putting you on speaker. My friend who is not a gilly yet is with me in the car.
No such thing as not a gilly. Just not a gilly yet. Hello.
Yet. Hey, how's it going?
It's going great.
Your friend is just talking to two weirdos on a phone that she doesn't know about.
Oh, my God. So, wait. How long is the show so far?
We're at an hour 40, and we'll
Which
probably
is
cut
short
out
for this.
We'll probably cut out 20 so far, so it's like an hour 20
Has
to 30.
Every episode of season 5 been an hour long? Except for
504.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
501.
No, but I love it because it lasts me forever. Like, all my commutes, all my, like, showers, I mean, you know. Yeah.
How many
I'm
showers are you taking in a day?
Yeah, are these Silkwood showers? How long are these?
About, like, 30 to 40.
Right. Aaron Sorkin takes, like, 4 showers
the
in a day.
The usual amount.
I feel like
he's fine.
Anyway, okay, but my friend and I were talking. We're like, what are we going to talk about when we get through? And I kind of wanted to talk about Emily's change in behavior. Y'all have kind of started that conversation. But whenever I first watched it, you know, like your opinions of characters always stick with you through the end of the show. So, like, you know, when you're talking about Jeff now, you don't feel the same way about him until you see him again later. Sorry, Demi comes back.
I figured.
Anyway, so when I rewatched Gilmore Girls for the first time and I saw Emily, I was like, ugh, Emily, ugh, because I just had like her personality of like later in the series stuck in my head from the first time I watched it. So when I started listening to you guys and Kevin's like, I love Emily, she's the best. I was like, is
it's
she?
A flawless impression.
I guess she
of
kind of is. Yeah. Anyway, so I just kind of wanted to bring that up.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. Like, we all have baggage of how we view these characters. We all have things mm-hmm. that, for people who have seen it before, we all have things that we can't quite get out of. Like, we want to be as objective as possible and have a good conversation about it. But at the end of the day, there's certain things where it's like, oh, but I just like him. Okay. So just accept it.
Yeah,
I like
yeah.
him. Like, it always comes to a certain point, like that with Jess. It always comes to. But, I mean, I'm trying to be, because I know we're the ones with the microphone.
No.
So we're trying to be as objective as possible.
Yeah, you're doing a really good job about being subjective with the Logan stuff and everything. So props to that.
Hope so. He was a real D-bag in the last episode. So
Yeah. Which, how up to date are y'all on recording? Like, what episode was the last y'all recorded?
We just recorded the last episode of season 7.
Nice one. Y'all really blew through 6, 7.
Yeah, we decided to do all of season 6 as one episode.
Yeah, so how long were y'all in the studio recording?
Oh, it's been
like
a week.
Consecutively, like, for 3 days. Yeah.
It's been a week.
Just people coming in and out.
Like the burger.
Next guest.
Special guest. Oh, me,
special
oh, my.
Guest.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
We're up to 512 to answer your question. We just
come home.
That.
Come home. Oh, right. Okay. So not
Wedding
I'm
Bell
thinking
Blues.
About that kind of changed my mind on Emily and Christopher.
Well,
because
no. Well, because
we'll
at the end of this
later.
Episode, Emily's like, you have good breeding. Be with Lorelai. Force yourself on my daughter.
Oh, right. Because she gives them invitation. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So that kind of always sticks in my head of when I'm like, screw you, Emily, and screw you, Christopher. You're a little dumb doing whatever she says, and she's trying to ruin everything.
I was rooting so hard for Christopher this entire season. He's been doing great, and it's been really frustrating to watch Rory sort of come in and just be like, how dare you?
Right.
And just be like, Rory, you need to calm down. And now he does this to validate everything she said. And it's the same thing that happened with Lorelai in that one episode where she brings Luke to Emily's, where it's just like Lorelai's acting crazy.
It's like,
and then
Lorelai's always right.
Yeah. I hate people acting crazy and then them being shown to be right in this
show.
Yes. Yeah. I hear them going "see" in my head and I just go, stop. And I don't like that that's what's happening here. But
Yeah. And I think they kind of continue that on, and especially like the Emily stuff throughout the rest of the series. She's just, I mean, without giving any spoilers, she's just not what she was. And
she murders a dog. She murders a dog.
Yeah,
this sacrifice will make it so Lorelai will be with the perfect man. And then she like just rips a head off of a puppy and eats it. And the blood comes flowing down her. Ooh.
Exactly.
Kelly Bishop in American Horror Story?
Kelly Bishop is the Highlander, I think is what you're describing.
There can only be one. Yeah.
How about Jessica Lange and Kelly Bishop co-starring on a TV show together?
Oh my God. A buddy cop show with Jessica Lange and Kelly Bishop. Jesus Christ.
What it's about, Demi. Just tell us.
First of all, what is Hollywood doing by not having this?
Yeah.
Okay, so what it's about is Emily's, that's going to be a real problem for me in writing the show, which is now real. So what it's about is Kelly Bishop's husband has just died in the beginning of the series, and Jessica Lange is a longtime divorcee whose husband was just like a piece of shit. So she's like, he's in the dust. She doesn't think about him at all. So now Jessica Lange is like on the force, and Kelly Bishop joins the force after the death of her husband because he died while being mugged like Spider-Man. And so basically she joins the force to sort of like feel empowered again and just to like take down criminals, because in the same way that Monk joins the force to find his wife's killer. So she teams up with Jessica Lange, who doesn't like Kelly Bishop because she thinks she's in it for the wrong reason, but they start to bond, and eventually they start to bond, and then it becomes a thing of realizing like, hey, We're closing in on the guy who killed your husband. And it turns out it was Jessica Lange's ex-husband, who she hasn't thought about for in ages. So now Jessica Lange, it gets personal for her too. And she's like, we got to find him. And she's like, yes, we have to find him, but I want to find him for different reasons. Like, when we find him, I'm going to kill him. No, you're taking him to court. This is so Kelly Bishop says, you're taking him to court. He's getting due process. He's going to rot in jail for the rest of his life. And it's like, no, after what he did to me, he's going to rot in hell for the rest of my life. So then they're fighting about what they're going to do to this guy. And it's just, great. Basically, the series is just these two women who are now cops, and so the climax is them finding out that this guy killed Kelly Bishop's husband. But over the series, it's just them bonding and sort of bonding over the idea that they're women in a workforce that doesn't really value women, but them trying to prove to not only the workforce but themselves that they deserve to be there just as well as any other cop on that force does.
That's right.
Yeah.
Age and gender don't matter.
What's it called, though? You ask?
Yeah, what's it called, Demi?
What is it called?
I don't know. Give me a second. Something about blue, because, you know, cops.
Right. And, like, blue hair, like old women, except they dye their hair, maybe? I don't know.
Queen Force, Queen, old women.
God
beautiful.
Save the Queen. No, I don't know. I'm going to have a great title for this by the time I send it off to Fox.
Yeah, so when
Fox.
Is this going to come out, Demi?
this is coming out, let's say January 2017. I need some time.
Okay. How about June 3rd?
I'll be prepared.
June 3rd, 2017.
Yeah. That sounds like a good date.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing going to terrible happen on that day.
No.
Also, knowing the networks, they'd call it something terrible like Beauty and the Badge. I'm not into it.
Oh, God.
I'm not into
Beauty and the Badge.
I'm not into the idea that because they're women, we have to focus on how beautiful they are. I want it to be like, they're beautiful, shut up. They're also strong, and they're going to kick your ass if you keep talking about them like this.
Yeah.
So,
are they also going to be like, you know, size 2 and just like pounding the donuts really hard?
Yes.
Just pounding them.
Yeah, they're going to pull into a Dunkin' Donuts and they're going to ask for 10 boxes of glazed donuts. Like, aren't you a little too ladylike to be in like this? And he's like, aren't you a little too fucking arrested to be talking to me like this, you piece of shit?
To be shut enough like
yeah.
So this is going to be on HBO?
Yes. Aren't you a little too arrested to be shutting up, you piece of shit, is going to be Kelly Bishop's catchphrase.
Oh, God. Are they going to like pull a Ron Swanson and be like, no, I don't think you understood me. I want all the donuts you have.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
This is great. This is the best thing we've come up since the Presidentist.
Yes, I forgot about that.
Presidentist.
How could you forget? He's cleaning up the Oval Office and the Oral Office.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Him and Kyle are going to be running the whole world.
I agree.
Team Kyle. Well, yeah. Thanks for calling in, Paige.
Yeah. Thank you for lighting a fire under us to start this pilot.
Yes.
Yeah, get on it, guys.
Co-credit.
Cool. Yeah, well, please come to the South and hang out with me, and we'll just be best friends forever, okay?
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Was that a binding contract we just made?
I think so.
By saying okay on a podcast? We'll take one more call.
And then I gotta go write this show.
Yeah. Well, we gotta record our
ads. What is the title of this show? That's what's killing me, really.
I know. Something where it's like old, but
you guys
women.
Tweet your titles at us of what you think this Kelly Bishop, Jessica Lange cop show is gonna be.
Absolutely. Hello?
Hello?
Howdy.
Hi, it's Carissa.
Carissa!
Yay!
What a way to go. This is the last call. Hello.
No way. I don't even have anything good to talk about.
Well, okay, bye. Hang on.
Maybe I do. What does moments mean to you?
Moments to me is friendship in a bottle. It's lightning captured by the ray of 1,000 suns. It's photons hitting the wall like paint to a canvas. It's life. No.
Moments is good.
That's what all the calls were about today, all of those things?
Yes.
It
was the copy for a Kodak commercial or something. I don't know.
There's a lot to live up to.
We just want to talk about like if there's a moment that people in particular are like, oh, this is one of my favorite moments on the show, or this is my least favorite moment on the show. Just like, let's talk about it with you.
My least favorite moment is a spoily, so I'll leave it out.
Ah.
I'll call back in a couple seasons.
Okay. Is it season 7?
No.
Season 6?
I don't. Yep.
Ooh, okay. We'll get to it. we'll talk to
Kevin
you in
knows.
4
Kevin
months.
Knows. Kevin knows. That's right.
I might know. I don't know.
Stretch it out. I was thinking about... and you have had so many episodes now that, you know, you could have already talked about this. You know, it's a lot to keep up with. But when Jess, of course, I'm going to talk about Jess. When he says, I love you, and runs away.
Just that sentence cracks me up. When he says, I love you, and runs away.
Which is what he does.
Well, that's exactly what I Googled earlier. Jess says, I love you, runs away. And it came up, episode 413. I was like, good job, Google. Do you think, like, I think sometimes we're grown-ups now, but, like, when I was 19 and 18, I made a lot of really dumb love mistakes.
I'll say.
Okay. I just wanted to think, like, have you guys done anything, not like that, but, you know, something that is embarrassing
Oh, that's a
good
question.
I think somebody told me when I was 19, like, that they liked me, and then I never spoke to them again, even though I liked them, too.
Oh, and you did like them.
Oh, wow.
But I was, like, in college. I was scared, and it was, like, you know, freshman year. I was scared, so I just never spoke to them again.
I feel like my entire romantic history is a series of mistakes.
No, dude.
Not mistakes in like I shouldn't have gotten with
like
her.
Like unwanted children.
Yes. shout out to my kids. No, but just a series of me like just things that I look back on and go, ugh, that was embarrassing. Like in sixth grade, I remember I sent flowers to a girl who,
really?
Which is like not that bad.
That's sweet.
No, it's not that bad. But then I remember like I got really upset when she wasn't really into it
and peed on the flowers.
Yeah, I peed on. I left shit on her doorstep. No, I
that's embarrassing.
I just remember I got really upset about it, and I like like when we talked on the phone, I was like crying, and I think I got sad, and I was just like, in retrospect, I'm like, it's sixth grade, I'm over like being embarrassed about that, but I'm also just like, God, Demi, like I wish I could go back in time and be like, shut up. I think it's just there are so many things that in my adulthood, my my views on and like respect for women has changed so significantly that I look back on times when I was like leaning more towards like a genuine women right attitude, and I just think like thank God I'm not that anymore. So it's like it's just young idiocy.
I'd say I wrote a poem for a girl and gave it to her outside of a Chili's when I was like 11.
What the hell? You always go IHOP. You always go IHOP.
Always go IHOP.
It's the motto.
No, you get the Southwest egg rolls and then you give the poem away.
Those Southwest egg rolls are so freaking good.
You get the Southwest egg rolls, you hide one of the poems in an egg roll.
And then I give her my Southwest egg roll.
Ew. West? So it does hang a little to the left.
Oh.
Here we go. Here we go.
I just think like when we're talking about these three dudes, like Logan, Dean, Jess, and it's like Logan and Jess, I can forgive a lot of things for because they are young and like remembering what I was like at that age, like all the things you're saying, like I am not a Team Logan person at all, but, and all the things you're saying about him, Demi, like I'm like, yeah, that, I agree totally with that. But at the same time, like he's a kid. So he's kind of an idiot anyways, and he's trying to show off for this girl. But then, like, with Dean, it's hard because I'm like, no, you got married, and you cheated on your wife. Like, you are, out of the three, you were 100% the worst.
Yeah, no age excuse is that.
Yeah.
You get no age excuse on that. So, yeah. So, but I think you guys have come around to that way, to where, like, yeah, Jess sucks, but, like, yeah, Dean, that wasn't cool. That's not good.
It's real bad.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think we forget, like, these are children.
They're children.
I don't forget their children, but at the same time, I think if I care too much about the fact that they're children, then all my critiques will just be like, but so what? Yeah. And I'm just kind
of... You know what? Let them just be.
Right. I can't go kids will be kids when they're just being dicks. I have to be like, I know they're being dicks, but
kids
also...
Kids will be dicks.
I also have to be like, look, they're being awful, but I feel like they're at an age where they should know they're being awful.
Right.
Like, they're not 10. So, I don't know. No, you go.
I was going to say, when Kevin tweeted like it was a 15-year anniversary the other day, it was like the night before I was turning 35. And I was like, oh, so I started watching this when I was like 19 years old. So, and then so watching it now, I am a teacher. And so like, and I have a master's in education. I like study, I mean, all I'm doing is studying things about children and how to support children. And so it's really hard for me to watch it this time around, actually, because I'm like, no, that would be really tough for a kid like that. His mom sells jewelry and has a million boyfriends. Like, that would be tough on a kid in real life.
Hey, jewelry selling moms are the number one problem with child rearing in America.
But I mean, like, how did they pay for living in New York if she sells, like, there was no Etsy, you know? Like, it's not like she's got this lucrative jewelry business going.
Oh, he could have been like a straight up drug runner for all we know.
No, totally. Totally. I think about that with all of them though. Like, I bet they all have like these super dark lives that nobody knows about. Like, because the Gilmore Girls world is just like all the, like the bad stuff isn't really that bad.
Yeah. The bad stuff is, but, like
the,
I got
the
an
townies,
F in school.
I mean, like Kevin, sorry. People are going home and like crying in their basements and they're like, the
Why'd
only
you
thing
say
good
Kevin?
That happened today was, no, not because I was going to say something else.
Why'd you say Kevin goes home and cries in his basement?
No,
yeah, Kevin
no.
doesn't have a basement.
The
second part of that was going to be like, I didn't mean to say Kevin. was going to be that like, they'll be like, oh, the only thing good that happened to me today was I got to talk to Lorelai.
Yeah. Well, today I had a real bad day, but Lorelai paid attention to me.
Yeah.
Imagine how many diaries in Stars Hollow have Lorelai's name plastered throughout them.
That's fun.
Anyways, all I got.
Well, that's all you got. Well, Chris,
I'm excited for y'all to come to Texas.
I know. We're excited to see you in Dallas. That'll be a fun show. Tickets are now on sale. GilmoreGuysShow.com. /tour. Cool.
My parents bought tickets.
Great.
I should make my parents buy tickets.
I genuinely was going to just give my parents tickets, but they texted me the next day just going, bought tickets to your show. And I was like, okay.
No, I want my parents to pay.
Does that
for
mean
me.
They started listening to it, Demi?
Oh, no, I'm sure they did not.
I know, mine don't either.
I just love the idea of my mom listening to the first episode and just being like, it's so long. And then looking up the later episodes and seeing they go to 3 hours and just going like, I'll just support him from a distance.
We've never crossed the 3-hour mark.
No, but I'm sure we will at some point.
Yeah.
When we get Anthony Trolley back in here.
We should do like a two-part with him. We should do like an episode, then do a mailbag with him. That'd be fun.
That'd be fun.
That'd scratch everyone's itch.
We miss Trolley. So
yeah,
yes,
the world misses Trolley.
The world misses Trolley. He's
at
been in hiding.
80% of us.
There's a solid 20 who would be happy with him never coming back.
I don't doubt that. I don't doubt it.
Well, thanks for calling in, Carissa.
Yeah, I'm so glad I got to talk to you.
It was great to share this moment with you.
I was like, where are you going?
What a
this
precious
moment.
This
magic,
this was a moment.
Deborah.
This is a moment I will remember.
We'll talk about this moment on the Moment call-in show.
Oh, Mama
Can't
Moment.
Wait.
All right, bye, Carissa.
What moment was your favorite moment? Bye.
Bye. What a bunch of fun moments.
What's a bunch of funches?
You've been working on that midnight too long.
Yeah.
Bunches of funches.
So I'm realizing now Kirk's theme song would be the banana boat song.
What's that?
Hey, Mr. Tallyman, tally your bananas. Daylight come and me wanna go home.
Put the lime in the coconut.
Or something like that, yeah.
Sure. I see it. All right, well, thanks for tuning in, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Call My Name, Volume 3, Moments.
Call my name.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.